Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host for the Heal It Show, Ken Foster. As you know, today we're going to talk about healing through deep reflection. Some of you don't know this. I've been a life coach, business strategist for over 30 years now. And I've worked with thousands of individuals that really wanted to shift their life. And I've asked myself over the years, what does it really take? What does it really take to shift your consciousness? Well, I've realized a couple things. First of all, with all those thousands of clients, I wasn't able to teach them anything. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Well, the truth is, I don't teach. They remember. I ask powerful questions that take them into realms of consciousness so they can tap into themselves and start to remember what's within them so that they can bring forth their brilliance, their greatness, their heal their diseases, change their relationships, open up their vitality, their energy, all of that. But it's not about me teaching. It's about them remembering. So today, I'm going to ask you to be very present here with this conversation that I'm about to have with one of the top coaches in the world. And we're going to be talking a little bit about how you can truly make the changes in your life that you really want to change. You know, the year is starting out for us, and the statistics tell us by about the third week in January, about 80% of the people drop off with their resolutions. Why is that? Because they haven't addressed the underlying issues that's keeping them stuck, right? You know, they say that hell is paved with good intentions. Well, hell meaning where we live, right? If we're not manifesting our dreams, manifesting our goals, and living life with joy and happiness and peace. So good intentions are goals that we set. And if you're not manifesting them, you know, somewhere at the subconscious mind, you want that dream to manifest. You want it to happen. Maybe you want to have better health. Maybe you want to have a greater relationship. Maybe you want to have a business that rocks. You know, maybe you want to just have more energy. Maybe you want to feel happy and joyful. All of this can be manifested in your life. And it just really takes presence. It takes commitment. But it also takes having coaches in your life and having information in your life that follow your guides, your commitments, I want to say. Now, information that follows your commitments, which is why when I first woke up in 1992, I started reading. I read hundreds of books, literally. I wanted to know what makes us tick, what makes the soul alive, what makes the soul feel joy. How do we manifest great wealth? How do we touch the lives of others and leave a legacy? Books help us do that, and coaching helps us do that. So get your pen and paper. Get set in if you can. If you're driving your car, that's okay. Repetition is a mother load of wisdom. So you want to maybe listen to this again and again to get all the wisdom that's going to come forth here in this podcast. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to have my guest. Welcome, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, your host, and I'm so blessed to have my friend and fellow coach, Marcia Reynolds, today. Hello, Marcia.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for asking me to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. You've accomplished so much over the years. You've been an inspiration to tens of thousands of coaches in the world. And you got a new book out. That's awesome. We're going to be talking about that. But let me give you a formal introduction for those that don't maybe know you yet. So Marcia is a master certified coach and the president of Co-Visioning LLC. She's a master of teaching others how to engage in powerful conversations that connect, influence, and activate change, even when emotions are strong. From government agencies and large multinational companies to coaching schools in Europe, Asia, the Middle East, and across North America, she's been hired by organizations around the globe, not just because of her highly engaging presentations, but because of her ability to inspire people, to change minds, and to change behaviors. She has provided coaching and training in 47 countries. It's amazing. To thousands of coaches and leaders online and in coaching schools across the United States, Asia, and Eastern Europe. And so much more. You got this, bio goes on and on, Marcia. But I just want people to know that you're one of the leaders of wisdom on the planet. And you've helped so many people change, grow, evolve, and step into the best version of themselves. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, let's just start out with the coaching, because I love coaching conversations, you know? So, you know, first of all, let me just dive into you. Like, you know, over the years in coaching, what has coaching taught you that has changed everything in your life?
Yeah. Well, you know, Ken, I came from decades of training. You were saying, you know, training people doesn't really work. And it was always such a frustration, no matter what I did to make my training better. People could give me happy faces on the evaluations and say, oh, this was so great. And then they'd go out and they would apply what they learned. And as soon as it felt a little awkward, they just went back to old behavior. You know, and I kept trying to get better. I even got a second master's in adult learning and, you know, really looking for that answer. And it was the last day of my last job, somebody sent me this article on coaching. And I went and watched a demonstration. I said, something is different here. You know, and I'm kind of a research nerd, you know, and so I immediately started looking at, you know, the neuroscience was brand new. You know, how do people learn? What's the impact, the difference between telling, training, and coaching? And so when I started to discover that, you know, when you said, remember, you know, our long-term memory is back here. When we teach, we're only using the cognitive, I call it the cognitive stew, where they're just kind of, you know, it's what they already know. But when we get into their middle brain, the creative center, it takes all those memories, but then reattaches them in different ways so they have insights that they hadn't seen before. That actually inspires them to continue, even when it's awkward, to stay with the change. And then you got a coach with you along the way. And so it creates sustainable change, not just what we do, but who we are. That we can keep growing in our own potential possibilities in what we manifest in the world. So, I get it.
It's a really good conversation. That remembering part. It's the you know, I think it was Edgar Cayce, the great healer. At yeah, I was reading about him at one point, and you know, I was mesmerized by the fact that he didn't really say much, you know, to his patients. He just listened, you know.
Yeah.
Coming to this guy's energy field, they just talk and they walk away and be, yeah, that's good. I'm feeling great.
I'm healed. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and I always thought about that, you know. I think a lot of that happens in the coaching field and with us. You know, that, I mean, it's amazing. People come in and they come in, they think they're going to talk about one thing, and then something else triggers, and now they're talking about something else. And
that's one more thing, important. Yeah.
We wanted to eat that changes anyway, and now everything else changes. Yeah. Amazing.
Right, right, right. That we don't know how much we know, you know? And I think he was, even Alfred Adler had said that man does not know how much he knows, you know, and we help them, like you said, remember and put things together in new ways, just by, you know, the quality of our listening. you know, you can't be listening just to wait until you give them the answer, but to hold that presence with, I really want to listen to you. I care about you. I'm curious, you know, and so people start to feel not just safe, but, oh, I want to explore with you. And we do that energetically, not just what words and questions we ask. And that's what's so amazing, because then they can go deeper in their exploration and come up with these new ideas.
Yeah, it's interesting with clients that come in over the years. I bet you know, and I know, almost instantly if we have a match. And it's what you just said. It's that energy. It's that energetic piece there, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The energy between a good friend of mine, another author, Alan Briskin, in the 90s, he wrote a book called The Stirring of the Soul in the Workplace, you know, which just totally changed my mind. And then I got to meet him, and he was writing about collective wisdom. And recently he co-authored a book called Space is Not Empty. The space between us when we talk, it's not empty. There's so much going on energetically. And if I, as the coach, care and am open, I inspire you to be open and courageous, you know, to go beyond where you're comfortable right now.
Yeah. You know, I had Deepak Chopra on a interview the other day, and he came up with, he has a new formula out there. He says he's got a new book out there too, like you. And he said that, what was his thing? Consciousness plus infinity equals one.
Oh, wow.
Consciousness plus infinity equals one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to think about it for a second. And I thought about it, and that one, oh, oneness. Okay. And so we're talking about that. We're talking when somebody walks into a coaching space, we become one. That's what happens energetically.
Yes, I call it, and then it's a co-creative process. We're actually creating it together. You're not just doing that, but I'm with you on this journey, which enables you even to see beyond what you're seeing today.
Correct. So there's that biblical saying that says, where there are two or more gathered, there I am. Well, what's I am? The I am, the presence of the divine, the cosmic consciousness, is, or the Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it. That energy is here. It's with us.
It's with us. Now, when you said that, I think Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
They made it into a song. Yeah. When we gather, we are one. You know, people forget that, you know, that, and again, because we can't see energy, but it's there, you know, and everything we put out with our emotional energy has an impact on the space around us. And that's just so important to even be, when you say consciousness, to be aware of what is it I'm feeling now that's actually impacting what I am creating.
Yes. Yeah, what I am creating. I, you know, one of the pieces that really makes a difference in coaching is the piece of taking 100% responsibility for their lives. And before you comment on that, I was listening to a book from Yogananda, the great sage, this morning, and his guru was sick, and he went to his guru, right? And his guru is Lahiri Maharshi. And Lahiri says, Swami Sri Yukteswar says to this Lahiri Maharshi, can you heal me, basically? And the guru looks back at him and says, can I heal you? He's like, why did you choose to get sick, right?
Interesting. When you figure that one out, you'll be healed.
You'll be healed. So yeah, and so he believes in his guru and the guru gives him a blessing, and he goes back, and he comes back the next day, and he says to the guru, he says, I'm healed. Thank you so much for your blessing. He says, I didn't do anything. In fact, you look a little pale. And he says, oh, he goes back, and now the next day he's sick, right?
Amazing.
And this goes
amazing on. How powerful we are. Yeah.
It's so powerful. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah. So How about you? You know, when people come in, when they take 100% responsibility for everything that's going on, what happens? What have you seen?
Yeah. You know, well, I think, you know, that's part of the coaching journey is to be able to totally trust the process and realize that it's not for me to give you advice. I'm just here to help you think. And why this is so critical is that, you know, the brain's primary purpose is not to find joy. It's to keep you safe. It's protective. It's always, can this hurt me? Can this hurt me? It's, you know, survival is first, you know, and so we hold on to old beliefs and self-concepts that don't serve us anymore. But we rationalize why we do that. So we need someone outside of us. The neuroscientists call it an external thought disruptor, you know, just to be able to take what I'm saying out of my head and to detach and look at it objectively out here, because I cannot do that myself. My brain won't let me. But when you as a coach, you know, you're not giving me advice. You're just summarizing what I'm saying and asking some questions where I go, oh, right, that's what, well, that doesn't make sense. Or that's crazy that I think that way. You know, that process must be done with someone else. You know, and it's so amazing. I know you know this, Ken, that when you watch them do this and they come to these realizations that could be an aha moment or even a duh, I should have known that moment. You see them evolve right before your eyes.
You do.
Yeah. Which
you do. And you know, sometimes as a coach, I'm so in the process. I'm so with them in that one insight.
Yes.
And you know, things happen when we're in that timeless state. Mm-hmm. I guess miracles, magic, synchronicity happens. Everything happens in that state. And at the end of the session, I would when I first started coaching, I'd think, gosh, did they get, you know, what are the benefits here? And one of the questions I started asking clients was, what was most valuable for you?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
It's not part of the coaching competencies that you have to ask, you know, so what'd you learn in our time together? Or what's most valuable, because that's what crystallizes the awareness, which they then take action on. So even before you ask them, what will you do, to say, so what came up for you? And you're absolutely right. You kind of think like, well, this was a waste of time. And they come back with all its, oh, wow, well, I learned this and this. And it's like, oh, really? Okay, great.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, I guess when I first started asking that, I was a little narcissistic. I was thinking, I need to know what they're doing. I'm glad there's another side to that. Yeah, they kept a seed in exactly what they learned. Absolutely.
To embed the awareness. Otherwise, if it's vague and they may not even remember.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. We're going to come back, though. We're going to be talking about your new book, okay. Coach the Person, Not the Problem. And we'll be right back.
Okay, thanks.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm here with Master Coach, author, Marcia Reynolds. Okay, Marcia, let's talk about, you know, before I get to your book, let me just ask you one last thought. There's a lot of people wondering if they're going to be displaced by AI.
And so glad you brought that up, people thinking it, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of coaches out there thinking that, right? Cause heck, hey, let's face it, man. I can get on chat and say, you know, tell me why tell me the 5 steps to, becoming a runner.
You know? Yeah.
And it'll give it to me. Right. Or, you know, tell me how to overcome, self-esteem. And it'll talk. Why do we need coaches stuff?
Yeah. It's exactly what we were talking about before, that human connection, the energy between. You know, and I've been actually the book that's coming out is the second edition of Coach the Person. And the introduction addresses that because so many coaches are afraid. But But yes, AI can summarize, ask questions, confirm thoughts, but it doesn't take us deeper because the person isn't really ready to go deeper. You know, they may feel better. But to go really deeper and to let go of the old beliefs and who I am that's getting in the way of who I can become, there's a little discomfort there. AI is not going to bring you to that state, and it certainly can't bring you through it to the other side. So, you know, so when I stay with you, that my peacefulness, you know, starts to diffuse any anxieties you have over the shifting perceptions of how I see the world and myself. So, you know, this impact we make is so based on our human connection and the space between that AI, I don't think we'll ever be able to replicate. So baseline coaching, sure, it can do that. But to go deeper into real transformation, it requires a human connection.
Well, I think that every human being comes on this planet with a purpose and a unique gift, completely unique. So I'm not sure how AI would ever know my unique gifts. I don't think so. I just, you know, I maybe get close, might help, might point me in the direction.
Right.
But that's something for all of us to discover.
Yes.
What is that for each individual? And then I think of things like clients coming to me that don't feel worthy, right? And, you know, how does AI go? Well, give me 5 steps to stop, to start feeling worthy about myself. Well, there's... If it was that
cognitive easy. Process, right, right. Yeah, a cognitive stew.
It's right here. It's not here.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that's an interesting thing to even discern. You know, when I asked, so tell me, like, you know, when you, a time in your life when you had a peak moment, you accomplished something, you were so proud. What are the characteristics in you that helped you to achieve that? They often tell me what they did, you know. Well, you know, I'm a good leader. It's like, but what makes you a good leader, you know? And you know, I'm a problem solver. Okay, well, that's still something you did. What makes you a good problem solver, you know? To go deeper into, you know, I see a big picture. I have a sensory awareness. I'm courageous. I care about people. It's harder for people to bring forth their personal characteristics separate from what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and I, especially when I work with leaders, right. You know, that okay, that's what you do, but who are you that inspires other people?
Yeah,
they have a hard time defining that.
A lot of people have a hard time defining that. And I agree with you, especially leaders. Isn't that interesting? Maybe because they're so busy, they don't have time for stuff.
Well, you know, it's they've been rewarded for what they do. You know, the smarter you are, the better you are at rationalizing. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and because when you're rewarded for being smart, for getting a lot of sales, you know, for doing things, you don't even have a consciousness around. But what did I bring forth to do that?
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, I got to get the book on here. I've got another thought, but I want to let you know about your new book. The book is called Coach the Person, Not the Problem, A Guide to Using Reflective Inquiry, Marcia Reynolds. And Marcia, why is this book just for coaches or is it for people that want to expand their thinking? What's this book for?
Well, primarily coaches, since that's who I work with all around the world. There's so many of us, you know, but actually it's a guide to connected conversations. Whether you're a coach or a leader definitely needs to use coaching approaches, or a parent, especially of teenagers, to be able to strengthen your connections and see possibilities together in any conversation that you have.
You know, I just even think that one, that what you just mentioned, teenagers, I mean, let's face it, we're not going to teach them anything.
Why do you?
We can coach them. We can coach them with the right questions. and engage with that listening skills, and you know they can really shift.
Let me just add to that though, that you know, to understand, it's what we were talking about before though, the energy is important. You can't use questions and they feel interrogated.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a caring curiosity. And so that's why the book has both skills and mindset.
Well, my dad was LAPD 44 years, so I got those interrogation questions. That's probably why I became a coach, because I was really good at questions. But questions with heart, with gentleness, with sincerity and kindness, or they go a long way.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Your intention, Wharton's.
What's that?
Your intention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why did you write that book? Why did you write that book?
Well, first off, my publisher asked me to, because the first edition has done so well. It's in 9 languages, is all over the world, you know, and again, it's not just coaches, it's leaders. It's people have found it and said, you know, my wife thinks I'm a better listener now. Things like that. I get comments, but I also wanted to add in the whole thing about AI and the importance of connections. That's why I wanted to add to that the intention of I'm here with you. I am here for you, not just I want you to change. You know, and understand how to make that energetic connection is even more critical these days, especially for the longevity of our profession, that we know how to do that. So I've added a lot of that. I've added stuff around identity coaching, who I am, who is it when I create my ideal future, who's that person in that picture? How can I step into being that person? That's so critical, because that's what makes the sustainable change.
Well, as you know, you know, we have an identity crisis around the world. People are thinking their houses, their cars, their hair, their significant others. They think they're everything outside of themselves. And you know, when we'd be able to shift that back into really spending some time understanding us. Listen, I got to take a break. When I come back, you're known for reflective inquiry. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, because I think it parallels perfectly with what I just shared.
All right.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken Foster. I'm here with Master Coach and author Marcia Reynolds. Her new book out there is called Coach the Person, Not the Problem, A Guide to Using Reflective Inquiry. Like I mentioned, she's known for reflective inquiry. Let's take a deep dive into it. What is a reflective inquiry?
Yeah. Well, so many people think coaching is just asking questions, you know, and unfortunately some places teach that. And actually, when I said earlier to you, Ken, I'm just a thinking partner. I'm not here to tell you what to do. And you said that, you know, I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to advise you, that I just want to help you think more constructively and creatively, that it's even often even more powerful when I just can quickly summarize the main points you said. And if I'm fully present, I can pull out, you know, the things that are so important to you, or what you're most afraid of, or how you've, define the situation in front of you. And if I just can capture that and offer it back to you for you to consider, then the question is just, what do you think of that? You know, and then they like, huh? And it makes them think about their thinking again in a way they can't do for themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, reflection is, I believe, one of the most understated areas. We're not taught about it in our schools in the US. You go to India and of course, that's kind of common practice, you know, meditation, stillness, connecting to oneness. I'm not going to ask you why that is in the U.S. It's getting better and better. But how important is that for a person that really wants to grow, to become all the best they can be.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it is the we keep moving away from taking moments to just to be, not just to think through, but because of all the noise.
Yeah.
You know, that the noise is everywhere, negative noise that's all around us. And so it makes it harder to find a place to calm. But, you know, it's so important for people using coaching to know what it feels like to be still inside, because that's when I can fully be with you, is that I'm still, I haven't disappeared. My presence is still strong, but I'm still, so I can receive what you give me and cleanly offer it back without bias and with courage. You know, so having a reflective practice like that, it is important for us to be able to engage in conversation better. Yeah.
Well, I think how many leaders just react, right? You know, somebody says something, boom, this is what they say or do. And then they come to us. They come to you.
Yeah.
You know, I maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. Is there, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, because they're in this reactive mm-hmm. mode, right? Yeah. How do we coach leaders to slow down?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, part of that, Ken, is that that's a part of what they were rewarded for, quick thinking, you know, think on your feet, know the answers. You know, I always ask leaders, are you willing to give up being the know-it-all in order to be the coach? Or as the CEO of Microsoft said, give up being a know-it-all in order to be a learn-it-all. Mm-hmm. You know, but they got to recognize that being quick, responsive, and giving people the answers all the time is not necessarily helpful. And then when it doesn't work, it's all your fault. You know? So engage people more so you can share the blame.
So. Well, isn't that, yeah, the blame game is something that, you know, a lot of, you know, most people don't come to coaching and think I like to blame other people for my challenges. They, you know, they don't even think in those terms. And yet it shows up constantly in my clients, I'm sure in yours, where sometimes we're unconscious of what we're blaming, all right? Or pretending that, you know, past blame as being the victim, right? Well, yeah, it's their fault.
It's also what I said. I mean, honestly, and the smarter you are, the better at rationalizing.
Yeah.
It's again, a protective. The reason this is going on, that's not my fault. I'm okay. Yeah, that's what the brain wants you to do, that to be comfortable. You know, and so to be able to even ask yourself, so the decision I just made, was that based on good reason or was it a rationalization? To even question that, you know, we start to realize how we aren't making the best decisions because we're not taking time.
Well, a lot of leaders, I've come to coaching with me because they're not getting the results they want. And finally, it's created enough pain in their life, or, you know, their career's on the line, or maybe they're ready to leave the organization because they just feel so frustrated. And so in the book, you know, do you address these things? Are we addressing things that we're talking about here?
Well, I want to say, though, that isn't it too bad that people don't make change until there's a crisis? Companies don't change until there's a crisis.
Pain's a great motivator of men. That's all I know.
Yeah. Women. Right, right. Which is, you know, instead of just wanting continuous growth and development, which we're capable of.
I think it's because we're trying to, you know, the brain, like you said, you know, is trying to look for the protection, the easy way out, the comfort zone. Yes. And, you know, of course, one of the first things I tell clients when they come to me is, you know, the first principle you got to learn is do the worst first. What is it on your list that you don't want to do?
Yeah, right, right. Or no pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
Well, actually, my second published book was The Discomfort Zone. And I, throughout, I was saying that, you know, real learning, there's always a little bit of discomfort because we have to let go of what we thought we saw and who we are. And discomfort is good, you know, and that's why in coaching, you know, we coach them through that to the other side. You know, and I had so many people, Ken, particularly not coaches, but leaders say, I picked up your book thinking that, you know, it would tell me how not to be uncomfortable or make people uncomfortable, but you're saying it's good, you know, I don't really want to do that. You know, but it's a good sign that I'm a little riled, you know, by what you might say to me. That makes me stop and think about it. Wow. Maybe I'm seeing this wrong, you know, and maybe there's another way. That may not feel good, but that's growth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it brings me back when a couple of years ago, I was training to ride a bicycle from San Francisco down to San Diego with a team in Challenge Athlete Foundation. And it was 100 miles a day, a 7-day bike ride, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was out on a training ride one day and it was painful. I was going up a mountain, you know, and then the next training ride, it was painful. Next day, more, you know, and I've been riding for years, but, you know, these guys are pushing us. And I finally had to make comfort with pain, a peace with pain. I had to make, and as soon as I made peace with it, it went away.
Yeah.
It really, I mean, we're talking literally pushing physical pain out of my body. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what I relate to when you say that, you know, sometimes we got to be in that uncomfortable place to realize that, you know, even the discomfort we're making up a lot of times, we're just looking it up, right?
Yeah, right. That, yeah. What are we creating? You know, when you start to say to yourself, I don't like this. And And then the body responds, you know, that, what do they say? That, which we resist grows.
Yeah. Resist persists and grows. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Well, we focus on expands too.
Yes. That's the other side.
Yeah. So let me, I got to take another break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the three most common missteps that coaches make today.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Ken D. Foster and Marsha Reynolds. We're right here where you left us. So I'm wondering, coaches, gosh, I love coaches, but sometimes we misstep. What do you think are the biggest missteps coaches are making today?
This probably applies to everyone, that when we listen to people, we quickly assume we know what they mean and what they see without really digging in and making sure we know what they mean and what they see. And we go into that, oh, I've been there. No, and it's like, no, you haven't. You have not lived their life. You know, and so they're seeing a situation and you assume you know what they mean, and they mean something else. You know, so oftentimes all of us give advice to someone when it's not even appropriate because we don't really see their situation. So, you know, I always say coach slow at first. I'm curious about their words and what do they mean by that? Why is this important to them? You know, and then the second thing is, and then what is it that you want instead of what you have now? You know, so just saying at the beginning of a coaching session, so what do you want out of our time together? They'll say a decision, or I want to solve a problem, but that's not what they want to create. So, you know, I never ask that question up front. I'm just, what's on your mind? And listen to the story. And then I need to dig in and make sure I see what they see. And then I want to see what they want.
Yeah.
You know, so the second thing, make sure that there's a vision of what they want to change or create. And then ask, who are you in that picture? You know, so we can look at the changes also within us, not just what we do. So those are the first two. And then third one, don't be afraid of challenge. You know, if I hear that you're contradicting them, I'm going to say, could we stop for a second? You know, you said you wanted this, but you keep coming back to this. So, you know, what's most important? Do they relate or are they different? I told you about this. I was working with a leader this week, and I kept asking him, tell me about your strengths as a leader. And he kept coming back to what he does well. And I said, okay, I know you do that well, you know, but as a leader, you know, you're a new CEO. What is it that inspires other people? You know, and I finally had to stop and said, you know, I've asked you this question three times and you keep telling me what you do, but not, you know, what you give. That would truly have people see or and sense your leadership, yeah. You know, and you could tell he was really uncomfortable. You know, this is someone who works in finance and is an attorney, and you know, and it's. But at the end, as we were walking down the hall, he's like, "Okay, you got me thinking. I have to really see things more strategically, and I have to think about what kind of leader I am." And I'm like, "Bravo!" Even if he doesn't know exactly what that is, just that he's starting to think about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, be willing to challenge.
Yeah, be willing to challenge, and of course, it takes courage to step into challenging. You know, and because it you don't know the you know courage doesn't show up, by the way, until we go into the unknown, right?
Yeah.
As we go into the unknown, sure, courage shows up, right? So we got to be willing to do that as a coach.
Yeah.
I have a question. You know, in the book, you talk about you bring in. Using coaching skills to ensure co-regulation of emotional state. Mm-hmm. This is huge, especially for coaches that are a little empathic or a lot empathic. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, even if I'm just your thinking partner, your brain still sees me as the socially dominant person in the conversation. So, you know, whether you're the leader, the parent, the coach, my emotions are going to establish the emotional state between us, and it's going to impact you. So normally you're either going to take on my emotions, which is co-regulation, or you will resist because they're negative. So if I get anxious when coaching, I'm going to break that connection and you're probably going to feel anxious. You'll detach from me. So I need to be able to maintain that compassion, curiosity, with courage, maintain that throughout, so I can, you know, regulate your emotions very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, listen, I looked up at the time. We got to go. We're out of time. So I know it's been so good. It's flowed wonderful. The book is Coach the Person, Not the Problem, Marcia Reynolds. And recommend all you coaches out there, leaders, to go pick that book up. It's a powerful read. You'll be able to grow yourself and be even a better coach than you are already. Mm-hmm. Marcia, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Ken.
Amazing. Amazing. I hope you come back.
Oh, I want to. Please ask me. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we'll do it again. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.